This episode is brought to you by The Happy Kind. Visit thehappykind.com to find out how we can help you on your next creative project. That's thehappykind.com.
There's amazing research that shows that if we focus on process, you increase your well-being while you do it. You actually build the skills to sustain that way of life that you're moving towards. So you eventually reach an outcome that's authentic, that you can keep, and you felt better in the process of doing it.
Welcome to Originate Now. We're a show equipping you with strategies, inspiring you with stories, and providing a blueprint for a more intentional, creative life. I'm so glad you're here. So grab your favorite coffee or tea, and let's get into today's show. Hey friend, welcome back to Originate Now. I'm your host, Jessica Higgins Chapman, but you can call me Jess. In today's episode, we're talking with one of my favorite people, Emily Harris, and we're discussing process over results. Okay, we're jumping right into it. You ever just fantasize about the end result of something? You know, like the book already on the bookshelf, the screenplay already in production, the brick and mortar already making a profit. You focus on it so much that you just lose sight of why you started. Maybe even become unmotivated to even finish it because you start to think it's maybe even out of reach. You might compare yourself to someone else who already has what you want. Like, oh, look, they already have it. They're younger than me and they're so accomplished already, you know? Or maybe even looking ahead until you're actually no longer even moving forward. Listen, it's great to envision success, right? And the end goal for what you want out of a project, but the continuous focus on it can stop forward movement and can even create resistance. So a few years ago, while I was working on my book, I found myself often daydreaming about being done with it in a sense of, look, I finished it. I'm a writer. I finished the thing, y'all. And then one Monday morning, I sat at my desk and opened the tab where my doc was, had my Nicholas Britell music going. He's a TV and movie composer. And it was like, boom, it hit me. I'm actually writing the thing. Wow, I'm doing it. And for real, from that moment on, I had a continuous thought of, I love writing. I'm a writer. I'm going to enjoy this moment of making something, this special piece of work that means so much to me. I'm going to enjoy the process creating it and putting it out into the world because it was true, all of it. I changed the view. I started really embracing the process because I love writing. I'm a writer. I started being more present. I started focusing only on what was in front of me. What small steps can I take this week? Shifting it into small steps brought back my energy and my motivation. And today, that's what we're going to talk about, how focusing on the process and not the outcome enhances your well-being and helps you feel more empowered. And also, it's incredibly helpful for creativity. To help me flesh this all out even further, I've got a guest I'm so excited about. My very first guest for Originate Now is the inspiring, wonderful, grounded, and seriously insightful Emily Harris, a movement and well-being coach with over 16 years of global experience helping individuals build healthy, fulfilling lives. She holds a master's in science and applied positive psychology and coaching psychology from the University of East London and a BS in kinesiology from LSU, my alma mater. Go Tigers. She's also a certified EMCC global practitioner and a former Puma trainer. Emily has led thousands of movement classes worldwide and holds multiple fitness certifications. And her current project, Seventh and Here, blends coaching psychology with heart-centered approaches to health and well-being for sustainable change. Let's welcome Emily to Originate Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited you're here with me today. We've known each other for, let's just say, a while now. It's college.
Keep it broad. Yeah.
Keep it broad. We don't need to say the numbers. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, I like to ask what's in your cup. Now, I know I didn't tell you about this earlier, but I like to say like what I'm drinking. You might not be drinking anything right now, but of course I love iced coffee. I love my iced coffee. Are you sitting on anything right now?
I know that. That is one of the things that so specifically I know and remember about you is that love and appreciation for iced coffee, cold brew, all the coffee genres. At this exact moment, I am just drinking good old water. I did already have a coffee this morning, though. So it's in my bloodstream, just not at this.
Oh, but in there.
Immediate in my cup moment. Yes.
Yes. To kick things off, we're going to do a quick rapid fire. And the first one's super simple. Morning or night? And why? Which one?
Morning. I love the morning.
Why is it?
That one is such an easy one for me. I love the morning. I love even working in the fitness and, you know, well-being space, but the fitness space for many, many years, some of my actually most magical memories are being up so early, walking the streets of New York City when the city's still quiet. I think I'm naturally more energetic in the morning. I wake up that way. But I think there is an optimism and a sense of possibility that the morning holds that I think really resonates with me as well.
Awesome. Ditto. I'm a morning girl too. All right. So the last song you danced to in the middle of your kitchen.
I love a spontaneous just dancing at any moment. So
yeah.
The dancing in the kitchen is happening, but I love even like, I love oldies. There's a song, Accentuate the Positive, Ella Fitzgerald. Amazing. All versions of that song are wonderful.
Love it. All righty, last one. One word to describe your current season.
I would say transition. Yeah, season of transition of coming out of grad school and then coming into this sort of next moment of wanting to use all of that information that I have learned and combining that with my 16 years as a coach. And so sort of transitioning into what does the next look like?
Love it, love it. Okay, before we get into the heart of the show, tell me more about your new venture, Seventh and Here. I don't know too much about it yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think continuing that brainwave around being in this sort of transition moment of coming out of school and wanting to use all that information in a way that felt like taking really sound but really big ideas and how do we distill them into things that are actionable and things that I can implement. So even seeing in my time as a coach of it's not enough to just know things or to learn information. They have to go from this cognitive space into this action space. So Seventh and Here is sort of that culmination of me wanting to and loving to support people in pursuing health and well-being goals that matter to them. So looking at it from this very heart-centered, action-oriented approach that is practical so that when you are building these new actions, they're aligned with your core values, they're aligned with your interests, so that when you start bringing these actions into the outside world, they are moving you in the direction of where you want to be. So it's very direction oriented. From a practical sense, it looks like health and well-being coaching with me, and it also looks like a digital world. So there will be things like digital programming and things that you can ponder these more reflective questions. That's the coach piece, so that it becomes your journey. And even the name, I was thinking through all different kind of names and, you know, you go, maybe. And then I swear to you, this name, this ethos just dropped down from somewhere. And it just resonated so much with what I was trying to convey, which is Seventh and Here is an intersection. It is a pivot point where I am asking myself, where do I want to go? And what is available to me right here in this season of my life? What am I good at? What is good in this circumstance that I could use? And what direction would I like that to take me? But looking at it 7 days at a time. So you don't need to solve your whole life. You don't need to solve the whole month. Focusing on those moments while having a little bit of a runway, we need a decent amount of runway to plan things, right? There's strategy and just a level of commitment that is possible within 7 days. It's not going to change too much, but it allows you to also, at the end of the seven, have a moment of reflection. How did that go? What went well? And then making those adjustments. So when we're looking at sort of personal health and well-being goals, they're super dynamic. And so needing to be adaptable in that way is the desire behind look at what is here and what is 7 days in front of you and what actions align with the direction you want to go.
I mean, wow. No, I'm like kind of taking it all in because you gave a great explanation of what it is. You know, I'm trying to let it land inside of me. Seventh and Here, y'all. Seventh and Here. So do you have a quote about what we're going to talk about today, process over results?
Yeah, no, I think prior to sort of my ideas being more crystallized into, I think of a brand as a house. So Seventh and Here is sort of this new house that I want to build and I want to fill all the rooms and I want to have lots of people over, right? So like that's this house in my mind. But the precursor to that house was this mantra. I went back to school and then just navigating life. And I found myself coming back to this sort of inner mantra of be where your feet are, be where your feet are. And it was really inspired by this. I felt an anxiousness within myself to want to solve things. Or then you look left and right and you feel like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to be further along, or maybe I'm not. And acknowledging this is not a dress rehearsal. Like, this is the real thing right now. This is life. It's happening. It's making sure that you're not missing the present moment of be where your feet are. I get goosebumps when I say it, of making sure that I'm fully present for this moment right here. And if I am, and if I show up honestly and authentically for my life right now in a way that aligns with who I am, who I want to be, then the next moment will unfold. I know that you are in the creative space, right? And it's very nonlinear. And again, life in general, but you don't know the whole thing. You don't know how it's going to go. There's a lot of value in bringing it back to the present, what is here, and trusting that showing up here will allow the next moment to unfold.
Okay, well, that segues us right into process over results. No, literally, that was amazing. Yeah. So why does focusing on the process matter, especially when it comes to setting goals or creating sustainable change? Why does it matter, and how does it support well-being?
So many things. I will try to compile my thoughts for you. I think a big one is when we're looking at it from, again, my background primarily coming with me was in the sort of fitness and healthy lifestyle space. Mm-hmm. And so before I even went to grad school and learned more about what was happening from the psychological sort of depths, if you will, I was seeing it in my practice as a coach of, if we just focus on the outcome and the results, you are putting even your sense of accomplishment out in the future over there. It's no longer something that you can touch here. And it often feels way too far away. You're looking at something out in the distance and it's demotivating, right? You don't feel like, wait, this is something that it just feels too far. And what often happens is that not only do we miss on the opportunity to celebrate the accomplishments and the milestones along the way, which are the actions, you risk building something or working towards something that's not sustainable. So it becomes about a means to an end rather than, am I building the habits? Am I becoming the person that can sustain that outcome, that can sustain that change? And another component of that is you will change along the way. Mm-hmm. As you learn more things about yourself, your self-awareness increases. Again, more information is presented in the outside world and you integrate. So it is this very malleable process. And so by focusing on the actions today and the 7 days in front of me, I can make sure that I'm building something that can last. I am adjusting and iterating as I go so that it stays authentic to me as I evolve, and that it's somewhere that I can actually sustain by the time I get there.
I love it because it's like, if you focus on right now, right here, and, you know, life changes, it morphs and shifts, and you're focusing on right now, you're able to adjust when you need to. And so whenever you're working, even, you know, in your old job or seventh in here, what are the mental blocks that you had to push through to get to where you are now? What are some of the blocks that you have currently in your 7 days that are this week? What are they, and how do you push through those?
Yeah, I think one of them is acknowledging that they're there. I think allowing space for uncomfortable feelings is necessary. I think a big misconception around positive psychology is that you're only allowed to think positive and nothing else, mm-hmm. or that things are supposed to just be awesome all the time. And that's not real life. So it's looking at what allows me to thrive. What is a life well lived? What is a life that's built around meaning and built around my strength? But it's building towards this, what does flourishing look like, right? Like, how do I thrive? In order to get to that space, I also have to acknowledge when I feel, oh man, I'm kind of bummed about this, or I'm kind of nervous about this, or I'm not sure what the road looks like. It is helpful, and I would argue necessary, to acknowledge these things. I am a big sort of journaler, and when you're able to talk it out or with a really, you know, good trusted friend, But to be able to give voice to these things also eliminate sort of the hold that they have over you. Is that serving me? Is there another way that I could think about this? And is there something that I can draw upon from the inside that reminds me that, oh, I'm nervous about this. I'm not sure where this is going to go. Oh, but this is important to me. I want to show up for this. I want to share in this way. I'm nervous. That's okay. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go that way. It just means that maybe there's more skills you could learn so that you can increase your confidence in a certain arena. Or again, maybe it's connecting to why this is important to you and using that as fuel. But I think acknowledging what those sort of mental hurdles are, even looking back at where have I done hard things in the past? Oh, and I made it through that. I mean, I think there's a lot of sort of different tools that I personally use, but I think it is important to be honest with ourselves about what maybe feels challenging and not great, because it's from that place that we actually get our power to do something about it. We can have agency over what comes after that.
Yes. Acknowledging it, seeing how far you've come, seeing how like, okay, where you are right now, things happened in the past, but you're here right now. You made it through it. Acknowledging the past and acknowledging where you are right now. So things can be difficult. I agree with you. They can be difficult. Sometimes it seems like, okay, I don't want to be positive all the time. I don't want to just take a positive outlook, because look at the world, look at things around me. The world and things around you start to influence your mental state and even how you move forward with your own goals, right?
Yeah. Because again, I think that's, it's important to acknowledge that. We have to learn and train in sort of this like resiliency in the modern world. There's a whole lot coming at us at all times. There is a learning curve, but it's almost like if I expect that I'm going to learn, if I frame it as this growth mindset, right? I'm not supposed to know how to do everything before I do it. That doesn't make any sense. But if I come at it from this stance of, I can learn. I can learn how to do new things. I can learn how to even think differently, right? I can learn how to act in a different way. So all of these things are malleable. And I think that is helpful sort of in that process as well.
All right, let's talk about activity goals for a second. I know you work with people on this. Can you share how focusing on small action-oriented goals impacts motivation?
Yeah, I did my master's thesis on this topic. So I really like goals a lot, and I really like physical activity a lot. And I came across this amazing sort of body of research. It pulled me in, and I was looking at what role does goal specificity, you know, play in physical activity goal setting. So how specific do we need to be when we're making goals? Looking at it as a coach was, if you look at something that is too far away, I feel demotivated to want to pursue it. And if I was looking at it from a goal setting theory perspective, there are certain components that you want to be present in order to pursue a goal that is more specific and outcome oriented. Let me make that clarification. But if I don't have the skills or the knowledge or the resources or the ability to get feedback, or if these other parameters are not there, then an outcome-oriented goal doesn't make sense. It's literally, from a psychological perspective, they're like, no, you should be looking at process. You should be looking at, how am I obtaining the skills? How am I developing new strategies that will allow me to basically learn the thing that will allow me to get to the outcome? If I put my intention on the outcome, it's too far, it feels unreachable, I'm not having any fun, and then I'm not going to do it, basically. And then what happens, I think the part that gets me is, then you feel like it was a personal failing, right? Like, oh, I was trying to go towards this outcome, results-oriented thing, and I just couldn't get there. Like, the problem must be me. As opposed to, actually, there's amazing research that shows that if we focus on process, you increase your well-being while you do it. You actually build the skills to sustain that way of life that you're moving towards. So you eventually reach an outcome that's authentic, that you can keep, and you felt better in the process of doing it. And so from a health perspective, we've got to learn new skills. Mm-hmm. We got to learn, what do I like to eat in this season? How do I like to move? When do I like to move? What makes most sense for my life, for my schedule? What's possible? What kind of support do I have? It's not as simple as just saying, oh, I saw this thing on the internet, I'm just going to do it. And the end.
Incorporating movement, does that help you achieve smaller goals in any way? Or is it just you have to look at yourself and think, okay, if I incorporate movement, it can help me do ABC?
It's a good question. I would say my personal vantage point is I think movement is one of the great generators of momentum. I think it's an amazing way to get unstuck. If you're feeling like you want to make some kind of change, get in motion. Really, I would say do anything that sparks that curiosity within you to sort of move your life forward. But in terms of like physical movement, it can be as simple as going for a walk. I think that a lot of times we think movement and fitness and it sort of bleeds into exercise. And then we have an idea that it has to be really intense or that it, you know, that it's going to be hard. And there's absolutely forms of movement that are more intense and that are very challenging, but it's not the only way to move. And so I think that it can be this awesome catalyst. I think it's an excellent way to tap into your strength, to tap into what you're capable of. You're increasing a mental and emotional reserve on the inside that says, I can do things. Look at me go. I'm capable.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important too. I think, right, you can go on a nice walk outside and then you have a creative thought that it just comes through, right? So you change your scenery and then it's all mm-hmm. itself. So there's a lot there. But I think, yes, my personal and professional perspective, but is that, movement is a momentum generator.
I agree, especially the walking as a rider and just creating in general, walking, especially outside, being in nature, it generates imagination and ideas without you even trying. It just, in my experience, I find it happens almost every time. Just get inspired just by being outside, walking, moving, like you say, changing your scenery. I agree with all of that.
Walking has become part of my own sort of mental and emotional well-being routine where my workout serves a different function for me where I am. But my walk in the afternoon or in the early evening is I need a change of scenery. I want to clear my headspace. It's an excellent sort of physical exercise and physical, option activity. Mm-hmm. But I think there are immense benefits from a mental, emotional perspective where we kind of overlook it. We go, walking, so easy, right? But it's really powerful. Again, it's become something that I genuinely look forward to. I walk almost every day, even if it's just like a 15, 20 minute reset. But it's something that I really enjoy. So get walking, people. It's great. It's really great.
100% agree. Some people think of it as I have to take a walk as like a sort of exercise, but I think of it just like a fun activity. It's just something to change up the normal routine. And, and I am a big advocate of being outside.
Yeah. Any opportunity that you can be outside is going to be beneficial. Yeah.
Get walking, people. So speaking of movement and moving, we actually met dancing in a little college play, High School Musical, the musical. We met and we were dancers in the play. And you come from a dancing background. So what is it about coaching psychology that made you think, I love to do this? And do you miss dance? And is there a way to marry both the dance and the coaching together in some way?
I love that we met through dance. That makes me very happy. I mean, dance was my first connection to, the power of movement, the power of taking up space, how I felt when I danced, and that it was also about, learning new things and improving your skill. And so dance made me feel a lot, right? It was the space that you can go in a studio and nothing else matters. Everything falls away and it's just about you and the movement. And so I think dance and that love of movement really was the seed that led me to, studying kinesiology in college and then getting into fitness coaching and sort of that world. And then through the process of coaching healthy lifestyles and learning how much of it is mental, emotional, and social influence, right? The cognitive and emotional influence the action. So it sort of led me to wanting to know more about the psychological elements that are at play, which, you know, fast forward to getting my master's, going back to school, wanting to like deepen that knowledge so that I can better support people. And so I think long answer to say dance was that very first love to movement, which took me on this sort of personal journey of bringing me to psychology. I think it is a practice for me that I find still very nourishing to this day is dance. And so I think I want other people to connect to whatever practice makes sense to them, where they feel like themselves, where they feel like they are able to connect to that spark, that fire, that inner energy that helps you remember that you're powerful and capable and you can do things. For me, it's dance. But for someone else, it might be music. Or for someone else, it's a different form of activity. Maybe they clock and connect to that energy when they run, right? So I think I want that feeling for other people.
Yes, I love it. So for someone listening who's maybe just starting a new creative chapter or who's feeling overwhelmed by their goals, what's one small process-focused practice you'd recommend they start this week?
First is take the pressure off. I think we've got to be a little bit kinder and gentler to ourselves in the process of change, because we have to navigate through a lot to even just get to that first action step. So I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is thinking about sort of this fuzzy future vision of what does it look like? Or if you'd like to stay in the present, what is important to me? What are things that I value? What's interesting to me, right? But that sort of combination of present and future, which are a little more abstract. And how can I take these bigger concepts and distill it into one thing? What is one thing? Do not judge the size of it, but one thing that would bring me closer to that sort of abstract vision of future me, or one thing that aligns right now with the kind of person that I want to be. What is it either important to me or what I value? So if I say my friends are really important to me, that's something that I value in my life. That's amazing. So then what is one way, just one, that you could bring that value to life this week? And if you want to get just crazy, think of a second and think of a third, and not to put pressure to do all those things, but to remind yourself that there is more than one way to move forward. So by having multiple pathways, we literally increase our own sense of hope, right? As well as the possibility that one of those might work, taking the pressure off, aligning it with you, and then letting it be small, because you will notice that once you do that one, that's the sense of accomplishment. I did that. And then you're able to say, okay, what is that second or what is that third in time? And then you can build something that's literally personalized to you and what's important to you.
It's great to remember that there's more than one way to do things, especially when it comes to your own life. There's not just this one way you gotta go, this one thing you have to do. There's more than one way to get where it is you want to go. So let's take those small little action steps now and be present while we do it.
Yeah, there's more than one way. When we look sort of left to right of how other people are doing things, they may be working beautifully for someone else. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work or has to work for you. But I think the other thing we sometimes forget about is just because it worked for a previous version of you doesn't mean that it will make sense in this season. And to be kinder to ourselves in that, it's an opportunity to build something new for you. And what matters to you right now and this season that you find yourself in.
Great. So I like to end the show with saying what I'm learning. So what I'm currently learning this week, I'd love to hear what you're currently learning this week, and be anything you want. I can start. I'm learning patience. I've been learning it my whole life, but I am really starting to let it seep in, and I'm learning to be patient with the day. Learning to be patient with myself, be patient with others and things that are completely out of my control, because there's a lot that's out of our control. So I'm just learning patience, and I'm also learning SEO. So patience and SEO, that's what I'm learning this week. What about you?
Yeah, well, I could definitely use more patience, and I absolutely don't know nearly enough about SEO. So maybe you could teach me that after you learn it. Keep me posted. I mean, the first thing that came to mind learning is I am trying to relearn French. I learned French growing up in school. So I have been re-engaging my brain in that space. And so that's one. But I think on the other thing I'm learning is to trust the unfolding. Honestly, it's the same thing that I'm learning with the creation. It's very meta, right? The creation of Seventh and Year is also allowing it to unfold as I go. So I think anytime you build something, there's a lot of sort of idea generation of documents and notes and notebooks galore of all of the things that I want it to be, all of the things that I, you know, want to create for it, while also balancing the only way you create something is one thing at a time, one day at a time. And so I think my new Be Where Your Feet Are is essentially one day at a time of I know where I want to go in the big picture vision. And so trusting that, yes, anytime you build something new, it's not a speedy process. And so I think life is teaching me that right now, very much so, of be excited, have these big visions and put them down, but let them make their way into the world. One day at a time.
Yes. Awesome. I love it. And that brings us to the end with Emily Harris, a dear friend of mine. Thank you for being here and being the first guest on Originate Now. Seventh in Here. Look her up. Emily Harris. EmilyCookHarris.com. And can't wait to see all the great things that come out of Seventh in Here. Can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's honestly such a treat to just connect. We should just do this all the time, you know, recorded or not. This is just fun to hang out.
Yes. We'll grab our coffees and have virtual chats.
Thank you so much.
Man, I've loved this episode. And I hope you listening out there are feeling a little lighter, a little more grounded, and even a little bit more excited to try things your way beginning right now. Remember, your worth is not tied to the finish line. In the process, that's where life actually happens. This week's creative challenge is to take a 15-minute walk. Walk. 15 minutes. It could be longer, but at least 15 minutes. Let your mind go. Enjoy the walk. Hopefully the sun is shining. The birds are chirping. It's a good vibe. That's your weekly challenge for this week. Take a short little walk. 15 minutes at least. Try it out. I hope you will. And let me know how it goes. Let us know on Instagram or email the show. I love to hear about it. And if today's episode sparked something for you, please share with a friend, hit follow. It helps us so, so, so much. And if you're building something new, give yourself the grace to take it day by day, right? Take it day by day. Small, consistent actions in the direction of who you want to be, that's how you build a life that's authentically yours. Be where your feet are, and let's get to it. Until next time, stay creative, be present, and remember, the joy is in the journey, and we're here to help you on yours. You got this. See you next week. This podcast is brought to you by The Happy Kind. Follow us on Instagram at The Happy Kind and at The Happy Kind Official. Also, follow our show Instagram at Originate Now Podcast. Let us know how you're making time for creativity this week. And don't forget to hit follow and check out our show notes for free resources. Can't wait to see you next time.